When you pick up the paper here in San Diego, you're reminded, if you need reminding, that this is a military town. Here's the front page of the Union Tribune today. The aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson returned to port after a nearly 10-month deployment supporting military strikes on ISIS in the Middle East. There's a big picture of a young father hugging his 6-month-old daughter. Obviously, he missed her birth. On Wednesday, there were heartbreaking pictures of family and friends at the memorial service for those 6 Marines who died when their helicopter crashed delivering earthquake supplies in Nepal. 4 of the helicopter crews had been based at Camp Pendleton, north of town. So there is active duty, but San Diego is also home to thousands of veterans, and some of their stories have found a home on KPBS, where we've been all week. The radio segment and podcast is called Incoming. It's a collaboration with So Say We All, a literary and performing arts nonprofit. The host is Justin Hudnall, and he joins us in the KPBS studios. Justin, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I understand that this is healing for both the veterans to tell their stories, but also for you to help them tell them. Why?
I definitely have a personal investment in veteran culture, having been the product of a Navy family and growing up in San Diego all my life. We like to say, like, the people we work with are artists, full stop, who are also veterans. And so we treat this primarily as an arts project. And, you know, as one who is a writer also, it's inherently a cathartic process.
Right.
And then the other half of that coin is we think it's really healing for civilians to be able to finally connect to that 1% that shoulders all of this burden that we've asked them to carry for us.
And to just flesh out your thoughts about your family, your dad was a Vietnam vet.
He is a Vietnam vet. Mm-hmm. I tracked him down at 18. We never really spoke about it in depth, as it's kind of common trait with that generation. I found one of the incredible experiences of doing this project and working with so many Iraq and Afghanistan vets is seeing just how much more communicative this generation is. And I think that's a great statement of how far we've come as a culture.
Yeah. Well, tracked him down at 18. There's a whole story in there. So, so obviously you're relating to these people that you're talking to. Let's start with Kurt Kalbfleisch. Who is he?
Kurt is an incredible guy, and he kind of personifies what I consider to be the complexity and nuance of the veteran. He was a surface warfare officer. He's now in civil service on board the USS Cowpens, but he's also a very accomplished writer, actor. And so when we asked him to contribute to this project, all of which is on the theme of coming home, he really kind of personified, you know, the other half of veteran life, which is not about danger and war. It's about waiting and longing and thinking about your family troubles and how hard it is to reconnect after being away for so long at sea, as he was. And so we have a clip from his story, Half Asleep in the Blue Light Lounge, here.
Well, let's listen. And this is someone who is serving. He's on duty at the Blue Light Lounge, but thinking about going home.
If my brothers notice me brooding, they don't say anything. I want to hate them, at least a little. They are my home, and I have to leave them soon, and it will hurt too much if I love them when I go. I convince myself that they are the reason my marriage is ending. The reason my marriage has ended. The home I'm returning to doesn't exist anymore. I need a new home.
You can hear the tension there. And we should say, Justin, you had these pieces scored?
Yeah, I have an incredible partner on this project, and his name's Chris Warren. And Chris, he's followed our work as a narrative arts organization, and he's worked with contemporary dancers as a musician and composer. He knows how to bring out the best of these pieces with original scoring without competing with them, and it's been great.
What does that do you see for someone like Kurt, who is telling this very painful, raw story about his marriage unraveling, but then he gets to hear it back, and it is art.
Mm-hmm. When you introduce something like music to art, there's a million ways it can go wrong. It can tell the audience how to feel. It can be almost condescending. But when it's done right, it just kind of brings out the best notes in the story. And the reason it's important to make it art rather than just a confession is that you want it to stand on its own. You want somebody who you don't know, who doesn't know you, to be able to hear it and connect with it, whether they've served or not. Whether they've necessarily lived your story or not.
Tell us about Brooke King. She's next.
We first spoke when I interviewed her and had her do a reading from her station in Florida. We were here in San Diego. It turned out she grew up a block from me in San Diego because we make vets in San Diego. She was a vehicle reclamation specialist in Iraq. She was trained to be a mechanic, and then she accidentally picked up a qualification on the .50 caliber machine gun, and that qualified her for going outside of the wire.
You know, I just have to say, you are speaking the language of a certain community in San Diego.
Right.
You have such facility with Under the Wire. And, you know, so you're saying that she got some qualification on a gun and then suddenly.
The minute she got to Kuwait and she learned a heavy weapon, she was allowed to basically leave the relative safety of the compound and found herself immediately entrenched in combat duty. And so after, you know, she speaks very beautifully, candidly, and wonderfully clear about the experience of seeing too much death in war. And so her piece, which is one of my favorites, Redeployment Packing Checklist, kind of encapsulates the experience into a brief 2-minute piece.
Right, but we'll hear just a segment of it.
Pack the hours spent in a cement bunker waiting for mortar rounds to stop whistling into base. Pack the hate and the anger. Pack the fear. Pack the shame and disenchantment for a job done too well. Pack the back-to-back months spent going out on convoy without a day off. Pack your combat lifesaver bag, your Haji killing license, and the rest of your dignity. Pack them all next to the Army Corps values and the promise your government made to protect innocent civilians. Pack your worn copy of Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises. Pack the tattered American flag you picked up off the ground outside of Abu Ghraib. Fold over the top flaps. Shut it up tight. Lock it. Heave it onto your back. Carry it all home.
Brooke King's Redeployment Packing Checklist. Did she write that?
Mm-hmm. All of these are original pieces. That's the important. We really put a premium value on people telling their own stories in their own words.
Yeah. And again, what do you see it do?
You know, we have this statue that was built in San Diego recently called The Kiss, and it's this recreation of that iconic World War II sailor swooping on, you know, Victory in Europe Day kiss. And, you know, nothing against that. My grandfather was in the Navy, but it's changed. The military's changed. And I don't know if our perception of that generation of military is really accurate or romanticized. And so I think what's important about getting Brooke's piece out there is I want you to meet your military. I want you to know the people who are in it. They're people. It's not about politics. It doesn't matter how you felt about the war. We're all culpable by being Americans and what we've done together and who we're bringing home. And I think it's a responsibility to hear it. And for her to be so brave and talented to communicate something that so few people have firsthand experience of, I think that's a real gift.
Is there a tension in San Diego between the military and the other? Because we think of San Diego as being in the company town, and the company is the military.
I think there's a tension on one side. I don't think the other side knows necessarily that there's that tension.
You mean the military has the tension, but the other side doesn't
know? I feel like a lot of my veteran friends, you know, they're not going to run through the supermarket yelling at people, you know, but they have been asked to do so much, and then they've come home. And I'm not talking necessarily about combat. I'm talking about just having such an intense experience as military service. When you come back, and so few people, you know, have been through that with you. And there's this reluctance. I mean, you know, anybody who's ever been through an intense situation and tried to explain it to someone and gotten the sense that they're making them uncomfortable by doing so, it triggers this shame reflex. And I think that that slowly can make anyone, you know, uncomfortable with themselves. I think in that sense, there is a little bit of tension here.
Yeah. Well, briefly, Justin Hudnam, we want to hear one more. Again, these are voices of veterans that here in the San Diego area are telling their stories on a radio segment and podcast called Incoming. Let's just listen to one more very briefly. Alex Flynn, he was a machine gunner, combat photographer. You say he writes that way, sort of snapshots?
Yeah, he takes these incredible staccato bursts of prose that he originally wrote to kind of caption and underscore his photography, but they stand on their own. He creates a picture for you in your mind. Alex is in Missouri right now, and he's continuing on his addiction to, as he says it beautifully, addiction to what he feels matters by being a journalist.
Well, his story with you was a moment in which he captured how a flashback unfolded for him. He was in a Sam's Club. But then he thought he was in Afghanistan.
I'm standing in the frozen food section of Sam's Club, and I hear the beeping sound of a forklift, and I close my eyes, and I'm back. Back in Afghanistan, in freezing rain, lighting a cigarette, and the second I spark my lighter, I'm standing in a cloud of dust. I can't breathe because my mouth is filled with grit, and I can't hear anything except a high-pitched ringing, and my cigarette is still burning on my lips, and the 13-year-old boy I was following around a corner is convulsing on the ground in front of me. The nearby Afghan National Army soldiers are gone, presumably blown apart. I notice bits of their uniforms stuck in a nearby tree, fluttering in the breeze, which for a moment is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But the kid, that poor kid, His legs, jaw, and left arm are gone, and I'm giggling because I'm in shock, and it looks like the kid is doing the worm, but he's not. He's in his death throes.
Oh, boy, that is powerful. And what does that tell us? I mean, besides just the power.
I think this particular story really tells us that flashbacks don't just happen on the 4th of July, that they can come in insidiously banal moments. And, you know, Kurt Vonnegut had the best description of flashbacks any human being that I've ever read ever did. He said, you've become unstuck in time, and you're able to time travel instantly from where you are to this other experience. And it doesn't make you crazy at all. I mean, this is a natural occurrence to a very unnatural situation.
Well, it's interesting we end on that note, that flashbacks can come in at any moment. The name of Justin Hudnall's series and podcast on KPBS is Incoming, and it has more than one meaning. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. Justin, thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.